Well, we're glad you're with us this morning. We're looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and I'm going to read it to you from the Message. This is blasphemy to some people, but the Message is a paraphrased version of the Bible. When you see paraphrase, what it means is one person wrote it out in their own words. They try to be true to the Bible. It's not something that you normally would use to say, well, this is orthodox, this is what it's saying. So it's another view, and I think this is pretty good. And see what you think, okay? This is going to put into our language, how we talk, what the Bible says, all right? So let me read it to you. How many people think that I should put my glasses on so I can see? Oh, thank you. A fellow sufferer. All right, let's have a word of prayer first, and then we'll get into it. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the word of God. Thank you that in your wisdom you wrote it down so that we can read it and read it again, compare scripture with scripture. By the help of the Holy Spirit and the scriptures, that we would be accurate in our understanding. And accuracy is wonderful in spiritual things because all truth points to Jesus Christ, who is the truth, and all truth comes from him. So we want him to be glorified by believing correctly what the scripture says about him, the Son of God, the sinless sacrifice that took away our sin forever by the shed blood of Jesus, and then he rose again in a real body, and he's coming again. So we base our hope, our faith, and our trust not in ourselves, but in the one who did all this for us, our beautiful Jesus, our wonderful Savior, the one that left heaven's glory to come down here and to be mistreated by men, and then to die for our sins and give us this wonderful hope. So help us today to understand. Thank you for the Apostle Paul, chosen by Jesus to explain these things to us so that we can draw closer to Jesus in real truth and really be assured that this is the Word of God. Thank you, Father. Thank you for each one here, Lord. We don't know what everyone's going through, but nobody can be hurt by hearing the truth. Everybody can be helped. Sometimes we look at the symptoms and we don't deal with the real problem. So we just pray that the Word of God would speak to our hearts, reassure us of who we are in Christ, and glorify the Lord. And we pray for anyone coming in that they might be blessed to come to know the Savior. Pray for the service coming up afterwards, that we'll all be there and be blessed and praising God to his glory. Pray for this church, that it would be a true lighthouse in a dark community. The darkness of this world, standing against that, inviting people in to be saved and to come to know Jesus. So help us this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, this is the Message, all right? And now a personal but most urgent matter. I write in the gentle but firm spirit of Christ. I hear that I'm being painted as cringing and wishy-washy when I'm with you, but harsh and demanding when at a safe distance writing letters. Please don't force me to take a hard line when I'm present with you. Don't think that I'll hesitate a single minute to stand up to those who say I'm an unprincipled opportunist. Then they'll have to eat their words. The thing is, Paul had opposition in that Corinthian church, and they were saying, he's not really an apostle, he's not a good apostle, and they were resisting him, okay? And he loves the Corinthians. He loves the church. But there are people in there that have to be disciplined, and he has the power and authority to do that. Verses 3 and 6. The world is unprincipled. It's dog-eat-dog out there. The world doesn't fight fair. But we don't live or fight our battles that way. Never have and never will. The tools of our trade aren't for marketing or manipulation, but they are for demolishing that entire massively corrupt culture. We use our powerful God tools for smashing warped philosophies, tearing down barriers erected against the truth of God, fitting every loose thought and emotion and impulse into the structure of life shaped by Christ. Our tools are ready at hand for clearing the ground of every obstruction and building lives of obedience into maturity. That's good stuff. That's good stuff, okay? You stare and stare at the obvious, but you can't see the forest for the trees. Paul was not a men pleaser, okay? He wanted these people to get anchored in the truth, and so he's going to tell them the truth, and he's doing it out of love. You know, when a child is disciplined, they never think the parent loves them. Daddy hates me, or mommy hates me. And that's immature. You got to realize that God's going to correct you so that you're thinking correctly, so that you can grow into maturity. You know, you just have to pass those principles along to your children. And, you know, the Bible in Proverbs is a lot of wisdom there. And if you want to have your heart broken as a mother or a father, you just let your children grow any way they want. And God doesn't do that because he loves us. He wants us to get this. And he's doing it for our good and for his glory. Are you ready to be corrected this morning? Not by me, but by God? You want to believe correctly, according to the scriptures? That's the right attitude to have. Okay. You can't see the forest for trees. If you're looking for a clear example, this is Paul speaking in his apostolic authority, okay? If you're looking for a clear example of someone on Christ's side, why do you so quickly cut me off? Believe me, I am quite sure of my standing with Christ. You may think I overstate the authority he gave me, but I'm not backing off. Every bit of my commitment is for the purpose of building you up, after all, not tearing you down. Last night I watched Do Your Job. Anybody seen that? It's the preparation that the Patriots go through. It was back to that Super Bowl that they won, the last one that they won. And the preparation that they go through, I could not believe it. The details. This is why they're, you know, prevailing team. They're always up there because of the details. See, most Christians are callous readers. They got the big stuff, but they miss the little stuff that connects everything. And I'm calling you out this morning. I'm calling you out to get those details. Understand this word. Don't just pass over something and say, well, nobody can understand that. You pursue that. God has promised in 1 Proverbs that if you will do that, he will pour out his spirit on you. He will make you know his word. That's a wonderful promise, okay? But if you just, you know, you settle for a kind of a hazy relationship with the Lord, that's what you're going to have, okay? Listen, this is how detailed the Patriots are. They study every player on the opposing team. They know that guy's weaknesses. They know what he's inclined to do in a certain situation. This is what really blew me away. They actually study the referees, and they see how they call certain plays. And that factors into what they're going to do next. Is that amazing? Wow. How about if you and I read the Bible like that? I'm not settling for not knowing what this means. By the grace of God, I'm going to pursue that, and I'm going to read commentaries. I'm going to read what other people said about it. I'm going to pray about it, and I'm going to become a pursuer of God in his own word. If you do that, if we all do that, this church will grow. You'll grow individually, and we'll grow collectively. We don't want to just be a bunch of nice people, welcoming people in and loving them. I know, yeah, that's part of it, okay? But we want to see them grow up in Christ, amen? That's what Paul says. I want every man to grow into maturity, where you see these things clearly because it's a work of God in your heart and in your mind. A lot of people have given their heart to Jesus, well, their brain is on vacation. I like that. You like that, Ed? They've given their heart to Jesus. They love Jesus. I got that. But their brain's on vacation. God wants your brain. He wants your heart. He wants to instruct your brain and cause your heart to love the truth. You know, an example of that is Solomon, the wisest man in the earth, except for Jesus, okay? But he acted like a fool at the end. He acted like a fool at the end. He was actually building temples for false gods. This is the man who built the temple for God and was the wonder of the earth. See, he let his heart go. Somebody said he asked God for wisdom, but he should have asked God for love for that wisdom so that you grow and you come to know what he's saying. Yes. Yeah, God always warns, and he warns with examples. You can look in the scripture. We have Saul, who was chosen to be the first king of Israel. And here's what Samuel said to him. When you were little in your own sight, see, humbled before God, things went well. But then he got carried away, and he started promoting himself instead of the Lord, and he lost the kingship. Okay? So God says, you know what? I got a little boy out there, just a teenager, and he's taking care of the lambs, or the ewes, the female sheep, great with lambs. See, he's a kind of shepherd that I want. He's tender with those pregnant sheep, if you will, so that they don't cast their lambs. I want somebody that will watch over Israel like that. He's a man after my own heart. Okay? So this is what God is looking for. See, the key to more blessing is more knowledge that we act on. The key to more blessing is more knowledge that we actually act on. But if we love that knowledge, and we see that it's not just don't do this and do that, we also see it's food for our souls. Who are we that God should open these things to us? You know, who are we? You know, what is man that God thinks on him? God thinks on him. Wow, this is awesome. Now, don't lose that sense of God's awesomeness and that he loves you personally. He came from heaven to save you and me. This has got to, you know, we've got to latch on to this. This is the truth. Believe it and thrive. God loves it when his people thrive. Okay. All right. Here's back to, this is Peterson is the guy's name that wrote this. And what's this talk about me bullying you with my letters? See, this is what the enemy, he thinks he's something. He's just telling you all this stuff. He's a big shot when he's away, but when he's here, he'll see he's nothing. All right, this is what it says. This is a quote. His letters are brawny and potent, but in person he's a weakling and mumbles when he talks. The Living Bible has this quote as, he's the worst preacher you ever heard. Listen, you know what they said about Paul at Mars Hill, all those educated people, and, you know, they're always there to hear something new and be amazed at stuff and talk stuff over. They said, let's go hear what this babbler has to say. Babbler. This is the guy that wrote 1 Corinthians 13, the greatest thing ever written about the love of God. Babbler. See, to the unsaved, the things of God are foolishness. I'm hoping that they're not foolishness to you and I, that we value every word of God, and we want to see how it fits together to the glory of God. Glory of God. I did a project one time over at Cape Cod Community. I took some courses on communication, and I took the New Testament, and I had a piece of plexiglass, and I had the different books in the New Testament, and I had them in order, and I put them up at, like a puzzle, all the way, and then I turned it around, and you had a picture of the face of Jesus. See, that's the idea. We want to see. You want to see Jesus accurately. You want to see who he is. You got to get into this word. It's the living word, and it gives life to the people who read it and believe it and keep on believing it. And the reason you don't believe like you ought to is you've gotten cut off from the food supply. Cut off from the food supply. You're not pursuing. You're not realizing who's calling you into this fellowship. It's not the church. It's not me. It's not Dave. It's the Holy Spirit saying, come on. I want you to grow up. I want you to get fed so that you're walking and you're overcoming the stuff that's held you back. Okay? And there's always going to be resistance. Always going to be resistance within, from without. Okay? And from above. Because Satan is the prince of the power of the air. He's the instigator of all the bad stuff. And he's got his own minions. He's got his own church, if you will. And so we've got to know our stuff. Got to know our stuff, okay? Listen, if you're playing for Brady and you don't know the route you're supposed to run, how often do you think you're going to see the ball? You're not going to see it, okay? He expects you to do your job. That's why this team has been successful, because they're well coached. You know, put yourself under the coaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, do what David said. He said, let the righteous smite me. It will be an excellent oil, a kindness that will not break my head. In other words, God, speak to me and tell me stuff I don't want to hear if I need to hear it. That's the idea, yes. Well, yeah, actually, that's interesting. You said he wanted to know if this is football, it might be compared to chess. And it's interesting because Belichick has been likened to a chess master. He knows what man to put where. They don't always win, you know that. But they have a high winning percentage, okay? And because they put the right man in the right place, and they, what I love about them is they take ordinary guys and they train them to become champions, to work together. That's putting the team first. Well, all these principles work because they're biblical. The church needs to work together. They need to be agreed on what the scripture says 100%. Oh, you can't do that. Why not? Isn't the Holy Spirit in every church? Is the same Bible in every church, that evangelical church? Yes. So we need to iron these things out. The early church did that. When they had disagreements, they came together and they ironed it out. What is it God really saying here? And they were pursuing the truth, okay? So we need to be like that. So, Lord, correct me where I need to be corrected. And I've been corrected many times, many times. And I anticipate I'll be corrected some more, too. You can count on that, because the Bible says that God corrects all of his children. And even Jesus learned obedience by what he suffered. And he did not have a sinful nature. So he was learning as he went, because there was an experiential knowledge of God as well, where you start employing the Word of God and it starts changing your life. And you start to see that and you're encouraged. And God will never give up on us. Don't ever give up on God. You know, when you face those moments, and I think everybody here has probably faced this moment, where there's a big fat wall in front of you, and you don't feel God, and you think maybe God has abandoned me, he's forgotten me. No, no, no. That is the time to believe the Word of God. A lot of times that dryness, that sense of I'm not going anywhere, I'm spinning my wheels, is preceding God's going to pour his blessing out on you, but in abundant ways that you don't think about. What I mean is he's showing you life is no good without him. And so you're going to come in deeper. That's just setting the stage. It's like God is putting a thirst in your heart for him so that you want to embrace and you want to know more to his glory. This is a wonderful word of God. We are so privileged to know this. I want to get on my knees and be in awe before God because he has opened these things to all of us. Every single believer can know what God is saying and what he's thinking. Is that awesome? And he died. He took his blood to make it all possible. Amen? Okay, so get a hunger in your heart and in your mind to know the Word of God. Okay, what's this talk about me bullying you with my letters? I have seen people crumple when they got any kind of criticism. We should not crumple, okay? If we need that criticism, even if it comes from an enemy, maybe God meant it for our good. And so we need to evaluate the things that come in. Do not crumple under God's correction. All right? It tells us that the response to God's correction usually goes two ways, and to avoid either extreme. You're not to ignore his correction. If there are things in your life that are taking precedence over God, you're probably having some struggles there, all right? And you're going to have struggles anyway, okay? But let's eliminate the ones that we don't need to enter into. All right? I do not have to stick my hand in a hornet's nest 4 or 5 times to find out this might not be a pleasant experience, and probably I shouldn't do that anymore, right? Okay, so the other extreme is that we faint under the correction. Oh, my goodness, I thought God loved me. I thought he loved me. Look what he's putting me through. Nobody else has ever suffered like I have. You can have a pity party, okay? And we're prone to that, okay? You guys don't know what I've been through. You know what? I don't know what you've been through either. But, you know, we're going through with Jesus, okay? So it's a simplistic thing. What do you need to do? You need to turn to Jesus. But you need to hear what he's actually saying, okay? And that goes with the words of the apostles as well, because their words are as much the word of God as those you see in red letters. Jesus' words. It's all the word of God. You realize when Jesus preached, he was quoting what the prophet said. He didn't have to change everything. Well, now this is really authentic because I'm saying it. No, he's quoting the men of God because all scripture is inspired of God, right? And it's worthy to be considered and to correct, to discipline, and to instruct. The word of God. You want to think about your early life and your father. Okay? Your father was the first representation of God in your life. And many, many people suffer from the fact that their father was not a godly man. Okay? Now, you have to realize that. And you have to be sympathetic to what went on in his life that made him the man that he was, okay? The whole problem is sin. You can break the cycle here. You can break the thing by embracing Jesus, okay? Embracing Jesus, embracing his knowledge. There are people here, I know some of your stories, I don't know every story, but I know some horrible stories of people being brought up and abused by their own parents. But you know what? You got a Heavenly Father now. How different. See, the problem is here that authority has been misused. When my wife and I got married, we went to Niagara Falls. Where else, right? Classic American thing. And our song was playing on the radio. And now, first of all, let me set the stage. It was a salmon pink Plymouth convertible that my uncle owned, and he lent it to us. And so as we're going down the highway, happily married so far, our song came on the radio, Ed. You know what it was? I saw a one-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eater. And so we said at that point, yeah, he knows the lyrics. We said at that point, this is always going to be our song, you know? So we pulled into Niagara Falls, not the actual falls, the town, okay? I guess it's Niagara, it's not called Niagara Falls. But anyway, we pull in, and this guy, this cop, steps off the curb, and he steps right in front of my salmon pink convertible. Fortunately, I wasn't going very fast. Puts his hand up like that. I'm a law and order guy, so I stopped. And he came over. And he was trying to sell us tickets on the Maid of the Mist. Listen, this is funny, but it's not funny in a way. There were people using false authority to teach people wrong things. Okay? So with God's authority, don't resist that. Because his authority is true, it's compassionate, it's backed by love, and he wants the best for you. Adrian Rogers said, you know, what God really wants, he wants you to choose what's really best for you. I love that. That's grace. Come on in and eat all the grace you want, okay? Just revel in the love of God. Chapter 8 of Romans. Paul, I am persuaded. Now, Paul's been through a few things, amen? He's been beaten. He said, I was in the ocean a night and a day. See, Paul didn't have to work out. He got his workout there, you know. And he didn't have to go on a diet because he often was in a prison. You know, all of that was supplied by God. But he said, I am persuaded. Now, I suggest to you that he's persuaded because he didn't always believe that way. But his understanding of the scripture and his experiences persuaded him that nothing shall separate us from the love of God. For I am persuaded that neither death, number one fear most people have, death. Neither death nor life, that's the other fear. I'm not going to do well in life. I'm going to mess up. I don't dare try anything because everything I've tried so far has been lousy and hasn't worked out and I've been a failure. Okay. Did you hear about the guy? He was trying to come up with a new drink, a soft drink, and he invented this drink and he called it One Up. And it was a big failure, so he worked on it some more and he called it Two Up. And then, hey, you know where I'm going with this. Okay, so I won't go through the whole thing. But at Six Up, he gave up, sold it to another guy, the formula. This guy added one more thing, called it Seven Up, and it went across the world. Here's another one for you. Norman Vincent Peale, who had some shaky theology, I do believe he was a Christian, but he had some shaky theology, he wrote The Power of Positive Thinking. And he sent it out to seven different publishers, and it all came back rejected, and he threw it in the trash. This is a true story. His wife got it out of the trash, sent it to another publisher, and went around the world. It was one of the first books I ever read about Christianity. Looking back on it now, I'm glad I did read it. It focused on the positive of Christ. The problem is it was unbalanced, you know, because there is, you know, righteousness and love, and so we got to hold those things in place. So don't give up. Don't give up. You say, oh, I tried, but, you know, I'm a born failure. Everybody was a born failure. You know that? It's what God does with you that counts. It doesn't matter where you started. It's where you wind up by the grace of God. So Paul is, he's there. He's like a father. You know, sometimes he likens himself to a father who corrects. But other times he likens himself to like a nursing mother. Isn't that cool? It just shows the two main aspects, I guess, of God, that he loves us that much, but he loves us enough to discipline us and help us to see what's really true. You know, right now, I'm going to be, help me here. No, I'm going to be 83 in July. I'm doing right now what I dreamed about doing when I was 18. By the grace of God. I'm sharing with you what I know. I don't know it all, but I do want to. It's my delight to share these things, and I'm certain of them much more than I was in the beginning because I know the scripture better. And I'm not saying that to my glory. You understand that. But God reinforces you as you go along and shows you new stuff. So get the foundation right. Jesus died for me. That makes me righteous before God. And if you don't believe that, just remember, he died for the whole world. You've got to be in there somewhere. He tasted death for every man. Claim your stake in God. Claim your stake in God. Okay. Oh, so what's this talk about me bullying you with my letters? I've seen that sometimes when I had to, in other churches or whatever, I've had to speak to somebody. And I saw a guy who was really, really tough in the natural. He used to go in a bar room and he would pick out who he was gonna beat up that night. That was his way of life. He was a motorcycle guy and tough dude, tattoos, the whole nine yards. He lived for that. But then he got saved. But he wasn't doing right. And so I spoke to him about it. I saw that guy kind of crumple right before me. I was amazed. I don't think, in my own mind and heart, I wasn't trying to hurt him. I was just trying to help him to see, you need to do what you said you were going to do. And, you know, I just saw how easy it is. If somebody thinks you're an authority, how easy it is to wound people. And I'm sure I've done my share of that, okay? That's not my desire. My desire is to help you to get out. The other day on YouTube, it showed a seal that had gotten caught in a net, a free-floating piece of net in the ocean. It was free-floating and it got all tangled up in it. So this guy's trying to free the seal. And the seal is like trying to bite him. And he doesn't understand that he's trying to free him. How often that happens, you know. God know, just say to God, Lord, teach me what you need to teach me in any way you need to teach me. And help me to see that you mean this for my good. That's what happened with Joseph. You did this to harm me, but God meant it for good. Okay? Everything that's happened to you, everything bad that's happened to you, can be a way to let the love of God in and to see, you know what, you're still alive. You're still alive. You're still breathing. You still got a lot of possibilities through Christ to do something for Jesus. Do something for Jesus. Wow. That, you know, the Apostle John says, who are we? That we should be called the children of God. Who calls us the children of God? That's God. He knows his own children. Amen? He knows his own children. And he's calling all of us to come deeper. So he sends people like Paul, the apostle, to keep this church pure, this Corinthian church, to keep them on track. And sometimes he has to speak to them strongly. His letters are brawny and potent, but in person he's a weakling and mumbles when he talks. Such talk won't survive scrutiny. What we write when away, we do when present. We're the exact same people, absent or present, in letter or in person. We're not, understand, putting ourselves in a league with those who boast that they're our superiors. We're going to go into the next chapter eventually, and you're going to see that there are false apostles claiming they're apostles, and their real goal, and you can see this in Galatians, is that all these people would follow us. They're not about following Jesus or teaching people how to follow Jesus, it's follow us. And Paul points it out. You see, the motivations of false teachers are, number one, their own glory. Number two, it's often sexual. They try to take advantage of people that way. And it's also money. They want power, position, money, sex. They are really motivated by their own lusts. You're either motivated by the Spirit of God or it's lust that has control of your life. And these people are hardened, and Paul opposed them all the way. So we have to see that. See, it's easy for us, in one sense. Every believer can say to anyone who's trying to instruct them, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Now, sometimes they'll say that and not really. Do you believe that he rose, that he died on the cross and paid for the sins of the world? Do you believe that he rose from the grave in a real body? Those are things that if you ask them that and they hesitate or whatever, be on your guard, okay? They sometimes flat out deny it. Oh, yes, well, he came out of the grave in a spirit. That's not what the scripture says. Jesus said, destroy this temple, speaking of his body, in 3 days I will raise it up. Another place it says God the Father raised him. Another place it says the Holy Spirit raised him. The Trinity works together in complete unity. Okay? One of them took a lower position to become not just God, but man. And think of it this way. Jesus is as much God as if he were not man. He's just as much man as if he were not God. And that is integrated in him so that he is both God and man. You see, God is speaking about playing chess. God is playing chess with the devil here, okay? You almost could say poker because he's going to come out with a win. He has the second person of the Trinity becomes a man. And as a man, without sin, he can pay for the sin of the world and even out God's books. All that sin is paid for already. You know, Paul says, God is reconciled by the death of Christ. Now you'd be reconciled by it. See, the debt is already paid. This is what we got to get it so that we're telling other people, Jesus already died for you. He doesn't go die again every time a new sinner comes into the fold, right? He's already died for everyone. Now you'd be reconciled to it. The only sin that will send people to hell because of this is to reject Jesus Christ. You see that? Because the scripture says the soul that sinneth, that's singular, will die. And that means separated from God forever. So God, in his wisdom, he becomes a man, is able to fulfill the need to repay the debt that's against him. Remember, David said, against you, you only have I sinned. Well, wait a minute, David. What about Uriah? You sent him into the battle to get killed. You're a murderer. You sinned against him. No, all sin, in its essence, is against God. So it's him that has that debt, that sin debt, and it's been paid now. Okay. So the thing is that we need to receive that and pass it on to other people. The sin debt has already been paid, and he wants you to receive that. So verse 12, we're not, understand, putting ourselves in a league with those who boast that they are our superiors. We wouldn't dare do that. But in all this comparing and grading and competing, they quite miss the point. Okay, so they're looking at each other, and they're vying for positions in the church or the false church. And it's all about that. And so it's very much their goal. You have to understand, when he speaks about the false apostles, he's not talking about any of the 11, the other 11 apostles. Never. There's no battle between Peter and Paul. They're all on the same page. Some people try to make a battle between them, but they're not. They're all together. Okay, we aren't making outrageous claims here. We're sticking to the limits of what God has set for us. But there can be no question that those limits reach to include you. We're not moving into someone else's territory. See, that's what the false apostles were doing. Do you know that they said, when Billy Graham held his great meetings in New York City, everybody that came forward and received Christ received a pamphlet, and it was, I think it was a certain color, I think it was red, I don't really remember. So everybody coming out of that great meeting that had gone forward was carrying this red pamphlet, and the cults were there waiting for them. And they would go up and talk to them immediately. You know, in the jungle, when an animal has a baby, there's blood involved, and they said the lions can smell that blood from miles away. This is why you got to get on your feet, brothers and sisters. If you've been playing around and you're not growing, come back to God and come back to the scriptures, okay? Read for yourself and feed your own soul. If we could get Christians to feed themselves, they would soon find they got a lot left over to feed some other people, okay? So we want to grow in the word of God's grace. So there's no misunderstanding about who God is and what he's doing. We're all in this process, okay? So he says, We're not barging in on the rightful work of others. See, that's what these false apostles were doing. In Galatians, they came from Jerusalem. Now, the Galatian churches were naive. They weren't sophisticated people. They were farmers, really, and they worshipped the fertility gods of all types. And when Paul came in and said, no, Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead, and God is going to judge everyone by Jesus Christ. And so they received Christ. They believed the gospel. And then these Judaizers came in and said, you know what? Paul's kind of an inferior apostle. He learned the gospel from the other guys, but he didn't learn it very well. Paul said, you know what? Jesus Christ instructed me just as much as he instructed the others. All right? And so they attacked Paul and his gospel. And he said, they said to them, it's nice that you've, you know, made this step, but you need to be circumcised, you men, and you need to keep the law to be truly saved. Well, this made an impression on them. They came from Jerusalem, the center of religious confusion, a lot of strong religious opinions, and they claimed to have come from James, who was the brother of Jesus, who got converted and was now the pastor of the church in Jerusalem. They claimed to come from him, and they were not above forging letters that said that that's who they were from, all right? And so they are constantly following Paul around and trying to add to the gospel. This is what you got to do to really be right. And Paul said, no. If you allow yourself to be circumcised, I'm hearing voices. I hope you're hearing them too. Yeah. That's not just me, is it? Okay. All right, let's hear the voice of God. They said, I'm losing my train of thought here, but they're trying to add something to the gospel, and this is what people do afterwards. Well, you got to be this or you got to be that, and that's not true. It's the Spirit of God that builds you up and makes you into His image. You're looking at His image, and you're being changed by Him. Okay. So this is what they were trying to do. They were honing in on Paul's territory, his turf. That's the idea. And he gets after the Galatians. And, you know, some of us might qualify for this because Paul says, my beloved idiots. My beloved idiots. Didn't you get it that salvation is free? And now you're taking in this other stuff? Okay? My beloved idiots. And he sets them straight again, you know. If you allow yourself to be circumcised, you are a debtor to keep the whole law. I submit to you that nobody has ever or ever could keep the law except the Lord Jesus. And he did it without trying because he was born sinless. He didn't strain to keep the law. He was the epitome of the law, okay? Never once sinned, and therefore he became the perfect sacrifice. Well, what's the purpose of the law then? The purpose of the law is to teach you that you're a sinner and you need a Savior. Having come to the Savior, you don't need the law anymore. You need to be instructed in Jesus. I love one of the phrases in the New Testament is, Paul says, you did not so learn Jesus. See, we're learning a person. You get that? And we're learning that person's agenda. That's what we want to do. We want to be well instructed. We want to be soldiers that march uniformly, believing the same things with the same goal to reach the world for Jesus, but in the meantime to continually glorify Him. And He's going to strengthen us in that. So we were already there with you, weren't we? He means before the other false apostles showed up. We were the first ones to get there with the message of Christ, right? So how can there be any question of overstepping our bounds by writing or visiting you? Okay, we've got a stake in this. We've got a stake in this. We came to you and we gave you the gospel first. You are like our children and we want to see you grow up. We don't want you to waste your life, okay? See, you can be a Christian and you can have your soul saved and you can waste your life. You've got to give your life to God so that He can use it. And part of that is understanding what He's done here and what He's called us. Here's the last part. We'll end with this. We're not barging in on the rightful work of others, interfering with their ministries, demanding a place in the sun with them. What we're hoping for is that as your lives grow in faith, see, this is for our church here, right now, okay? What we're hoping for is that as your lives grow in faith, you'll play a part within our expanding work, okay? And we'll all still be within the limits God sets as we proclaim the message in countries beyond Corinth. But we have no intention of moving in on what others have done and taking credit for. If you want to claim credit, claim it for God. What you say about yourself means nothing in God's work. It's what God says about you that makes the difference. Welcome, brothers and sisters. Okay, so you get the picture here? God's calling you and me to know this word better. This word is the expression of His Holy Spirit. Okay? Sometimes people say, well, I saw this beautiful sunset and I was inspired to write a hymn. Well, maybe that's true, okay? But it's not the same inspiration as the scriptures have because they're right from the heart of God, right from the mind of God, and they're written down so we can know God. What better way to know God than to hear what He Himself has said? Got that? Okay. Got to close in prayer.